Common and Ordinary Goods, written by AudiaX09, read by Rhea314, Fandom, Nine World Series by Victoria Goddard, Relationship, Arturin Damara aka Fitzroy Ingersoll and Cleofer Kip Mndong. The party had been winding down for some time. His Buru Tovo would be one of them, Cleofer suspected. He'd left early, saying he wasn't spry enough to go all night the way he used to. But the grin he'd bestowed upon Cleofer on his way out had been wide and proud. Most of Kip's family and friends had gone home, but there was a small contingent of people still going strong. He could see Gaudi, Ioru, and Aya in one corner talking animatedly. And another contingent, who had simply fallen asleep where they were sitting. Like Toucan, who had been talking through the annual stipend with him until he'd nodded off in the middle of a question about administering it 5 minutes ago. Cleofer was comfortable and unwilling to move, curious though he might be about what Gaudi and company were discussing, but he didn't feel in the least bit inclined to follow Toucan's example. He wiggled his toes and inhaled the sweet morning air, enjoying the way his lips felt rather rubbery from how long he'd played the oboe. "I can't imagine why I'm not tired," he remarked to nobody in particular. "It's the magic, I expect," his radiancy said from behind him. Cleofer tipped his head backwards on the couch so he could see his radiancy's face. "Is it?" As it turned out, his radiancy's facial expressions were more difficult to parse when he was upside down, but Cleofer didn't need to see his face to hear the amused warmth in his voice. "You've never participated in a spell of this magnitude before, have you?" At Cleofer's headshake, his radiancy said, "No, I thought not. You'll ride the high of it for a bit longer, and then collapse in the morning, I expect. Don't try to get any work done today, Kip, or I'll be very disappointed in you. I'll make it an order if I need to." For once, Cleofer wasn't inclined to argue with him. "I hear and obey, my lord," he said in his blandest proper public servant voice. It wasn't a very good one. His radiancy laughed. "See that you do." There was a moment's pause, and his radiancy's hand moved in a motion that Cleofer had trouble interpreting upside down as it was. Then he said, "I'll see you tomorrow, Kip," and slipped out from the rooms, followed by his guards. It's possible Cleofer was still a little drunk, either from the magic, the giddy relief of feeling finally at ease with his family, or the more mundane cause of the alcohol that he'd drunk that night. Regardless of the reason, when the idea came, it came at a delay after the door was already swinging shut behind his radiancy, and he didn't hesitate the way he ordinarily might have, wondering if it was crossing a line. He just got up. Cleofer's rooms were in the middle of the hallway, in the wing of the palace where the best guest rooms were, in the midst of the prince's rooms and his radiancy's. The hallway was deserted except for himself, his radiancy, and his two guards. Pikebe and Otto tonight. Caught in that still quiet of daybreak. Pikebe's hand was already on the door to his radiancy's room, so Cleofer didn't have time to overthink what he knew was the right way to say it. He blurted out, "Tor, wait a moment." His radiancy stopped where he was. He turned. "Kip," he said. He made one of his subtle hand gestures to Pikebe and Otto, who slipped quietly inside his radiancy's rooms and let the door shut behind them. His radiancy's rooms were perhaps 20 feet down the hall, not so far of a distance to cross. "Can I—" Cleofer began, and then couldn't quite manage to get the rest of the question out, still too shy, even half-drunk on magic and joy. But his feet kept crossing the distance for him. "Can you—" his radiancy prompted, eyebrows raised, but his voice was only curious, warm in the way that Cleofer could recognize as the echo of the love and trust he'd felt so vividly from his radiancy when his mind had been opened to him in the regency ceremony. It made Cleofer brave enough. He slowed when he reached the outer limits of where he would normally stand. The outer limits of what would normally be so far and no further. But he didn't stop. He stepped carefully through that liminal space, giving his radiancy time to react. His radiancy's eyes widened slightly, but his posture stayed loose and open. Cleofer hugged him. For a moment, his radiancy was utterly still, stiff and unmoving. It lasted just long enough for a cold rush of fear to sweep up on Cleofer, the fear that he'd gone too far. And then his radiancy clutched at him, his fisted hands pressing against Cleofer's bare back, the breath rushing out of him as if this was the first time he'd hugged someone in 1,000 years. Cleofer held him exactly as tightly as he wanted to, going up on his toes very slightly, so that he could rest his chin on his radiancy's shoulder. He could feel that his radiancy was trembling very slightly, a fine shiver running up and down his back, but nothing in his body language said stop.
"What brought this on?"
his radiancy inquired, with an excellent facsimile of airy calm, which might have fooled somebody who had spent less time with him or paid less close attention to him than Cleofer had. It made it easy to tell the truth.
"I've been wanting to for a while," Cleofer admitted, "and now I can."
It seemed worth taking advantage of the moment. He had wanted to take his radiancy's hand, the way Ludwig had after his heart attack. He had wanted to hold him directly, with no cloth between them, after Polly of Ramapool had visited. If he was being completely honest with himself, which Cleofer could admit he generally tried to avoid doing, Cleofer suspected that he had been holding onto this particular desire for much longer than that, in some quiet corner deep in his heart.
"I am, as always, impressed by your efficiency, Lord Mdong,"
his radiancy said, and laughed a little wildly.
"I aim to please, my lord,"
Cleofer said gravely, and his radiancy huffed out an amused little breath. The tension unwound itself from his frame slowly, and Cleofer could feel his radiancy slowly relax into him, his grip loosening into something more natural. The rush of pride that Cleofer felt for it was not unlike the way he sometimes felt after a particularly finicky Helma Council meeting. His radiancy didn't let go, and so Cleofer didn't either, content to be there with him, without words, feeling his radiancy breathing against him. Eventually, his radiancy said quietly,
"Thank you, Kip." "My lord, you made me Viceroy of Zunid yesterday,"
Cleofer couldn't help but point out.
"I ought to be the one thanking you."
His radiancy did draw back then, just enough to meet Cleofer's eyes.
"You know as well as I do, it's not so much a gift as a great weight to carry."
Cleofer met the lion eyes squarely.
"You know I don't mind hard work."
His radiancy smiled, eyes crinkling, and said,
"You're right. I do know that. All the same."
Cleofer looked at him steadily for a moment, hunting for the right words, and then, quite unable to help himself, he blinked twice and yawned, a great jaw-cracking thing.
"You see, what did I tell you?"
his radiancy said, amused.
"Bed, Kip."
He released Cleofer fully, but squeezed his shoulder for a moment before he stepped back, his thumb sweeping away from and then back to his hand once. Cleofer had to fight not to shiver, and managed to mask it with another yawn.
"Yes, my lord."
There would be more to do tomorrow, Cleofer reflected, as he turned back towards his own rooms, and undoubtedly the perfection of this whole absurd day would fracture soon enough. But nonetheless, in this particular moment, he was perfectly content, filled to the brim with a deep, rich joy. The end. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post.